Well, look, we're here for our monthly call, and the first thing I want to do is cover your agenda. I'd like to know get a an update or a progress report, and then I want to just talk just a tad bit about planning, and then a little bit about the collaborative team model that you can incorporate in your planning. So, let's open up the floor, and who wants to be first to kind of give me an update on what's been going on since the last time we spoke?
I think we're pretty much rocking and rolling so far. I know Lisa and Johnny are ahead of me in the aspect of, they've already had their first and second meetings. I finally got out my first wave of meetings last
Okay.
week. So today I'm starting to schedule the first round. And as far as planning goes, I think that's
You kind of froze up on me there, Ped and Ford, so you might have to repeat that.
Can
You
you
see?
hear me now?
Okay, you froze up, so go ahead and say it again. As
Says my
far as planning
internet connection
goes,
is unstable.
okay. As far as planning is concerned, what's happening?
As far as that goes, I think that's going to really start the next couple meetings because the first couple meetings are really describing what we're doing, how we're doing it,
Right.
getting all the basic information down, and then moving towards the plan,
Okay.
which can take a month in itself at least to
That's
really get
right.
everything down.
Are you feeling comfortable with what you're doing, the process, and being organized the Supernova way?
So far, so good.
Okay.
So far,
And
so good.
how are the clients responding?
They like it. Like I
Okay.
said, I just threw out my first batch last week, so my first round of meetings is really this week and next week. So
Okay.
I'm right at the beginning stages of it, but Johnny's told me that it's gone really well on his side.
Okay. Well, let's get an update from Johnny while we're here. Johnny, give me an update on things that are going for you. I think the last time Lisa had you scheduled up on an appointment, and so you've been quite busy. So give me an update on what's going on.
I've had lots of positive comments, I'll say, from the clients on the first meeting,
Okay.
and no one has really looked at me like with a question mark.
Okay.
Most even invited and said this is going to be healthy for our relationship moving forward. And a few of these I've had a second meeting with, and it really did go well. They,
Okay.
all of what we discussed, they fully understood. They listened. And
Okay.
maybe it's a new sheet of music they like to hear, but maybe me after 24 years became redundant in what I was telling them, but they're pretty excited about it. And I am
Okay.
too. I like to hear their response back. And I think two of them have shared some of this with some of their friends. I know one has actually told me so. And so
Okay.
it's the contact of a
Right.
regimented schedule that I think they appreciate. The one thing I've noticed, and this is kind of common in our industry, once you get to know a client, we don't talk about performance that much. That's
Right.
it's my meeting, a 1 hour meeting with one gentleman, and I'm having a I've already had the second meeting with him, which is the phone call, but in person first, phone call follow up, in less than 5 minutes is on performance.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that that things are working out well in that regard. And Lisa, why don't you give me an update?
Yeah, we are. I told you last month, we've just got so many balls up in the air. It's just kind of daunting to make sure we're staying on track. With Johnny, the calendar is, getting filled up with more and more clients. I want to make sure that I'm a color coder. I like to make sure his calendar is specific to Supernova. So far in December, he knows when he has a Supernova call versus something else that he might just add on his calendar specifically
Okay.
in Outlook. So far that's good. And then right now, thankfully, Peyton is he's a he can manage his own calendar for now. Maybe when we all get to Greenville and figure out the whole flow of it, we're going to hopefully, you know, orchestrate another individual to come in and help us figure out how to manage all of the client, you know, supernova communication and the right. calendar and that kind of thing. But right now we're managing pretty good, I think. Still have to figure out how to do, you know, some of our follow up and make sure we're dotting all our I's and crossing T's. But I'm pretty tickled about it so far.
Okay. So you know, you're sending out your meeting notices. Just a reminder that we got a meeting coming up. Mm-hmm. And then after your meeting takes place, you're having a executive summary go out. This is what we talked about. You know, this is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. And these are the next steps. Goes in the folder and you set them up for the next call. So every client, you know, going forward should have some type of an agenda. And you start mm-hmm. your calls off with, look, I've got an agenda, but before I get started, is there anything in particular that you would like to talk about? Okay, so start every call like that, the way that I start my calls. You know, I've got some things to cover, but what's on your mind? Why don't you give me an update? Okay, so that's really important that you do that kind of listening first. Because what we want to happen is that your concierge practice now is so tight, and we want to hear the words, do you feel comfortable enthusiastically endorsing me? And we want to hear yes. So that's how we start to bring it all together. Anything else you want to bring to my attention before I get into some material I wanted to cover today? Okay. Well, what I'd like to do on the next calls that come in is focus on the planning concepts for your team. There's no off season in our business, right? I mean, you know, football players, they get an off season, but you don't get one. So, you know, this time now is you're trying to finish up a year on a positive note, hit grid levels, make recognition clubs, you know, continuing on with your training and supernova implementation. So you got a lot going on right now. So I'm pretty sensitive to what happens during this particular transition. Plus, you got a relocation, you know, to your other location going on. So that's a pretty much a full plate. So did you receive a business planning template from me yet?
Well, we talked about it last time, but I don't think we got it.
Okay. So, okay, business planning template. So I'm going to get that to you immediately after this call. And what I want to focus on is two things on our next several calls is the business plan and then getting you to kind of step out on a collaborative based model. Now, I'm going to show you a slide. I'm going to go to screen share and show you this slide that I have. Hold on.
And one other thing, Curtis, you said you were going to send us a calculator of some sort. Your kind of
okay.
Curtis's calculator. That was the two things we wrote down last month. The what if okay. scenario.
Well, I tell you what, we'll see if we can go through the calculator right after this. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I can send. It's something to cover with you.
I got you.
Okay. Can you see this slide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the collaborative team model slide. And it's got the FA team in the center. And, you know, you now have your delegated duties and responsibilities. You know who does what. Now, how does a team further get leverage? So the one thing that you're doing to get leverage is you're developing this concierge practice. But now we want you to begin to think about, how do I get that force multiplier effect? I discussed that in my book, Supernova Advisor Teams, A Pathway to Excellence. And this is where this FA team now, with its organization concierge practice, now interacts with other team members outside your current team to get leverage. An example of this is take the Navy SEALs. They're on a mission. They've inserted a 5 to 8 person team, and they encounter a force of 150. Well, that little small agile team is not going to go up against 150. What they're going to do is they're going to call in carrier support. They're going to call in drone support, and they're going to call in a quick reaction force, you know, to support them. And so that's how they collaborate with the different parts of the organization to bring to bear on the enemy. So we're not talking about an enemy here, but we're talking about bringing that to bear on the client. So your team is now agile, but you can't be an expert in everything. And this is where you have to think about, you know, can you interface with a FA specialty team that has expertise that you don't have? You know, specialized capabilities in pensions, if you're not a pension expert, dealing with nonprofits, if you don't have that expertise on the team, business financial services, which gets into the liability side of business owners, niche markets that are very, very specialized, okay? Or you might look at specialists in mortgages, lending, insurance, and estate planning. So your specialists are your resource people within the firm that can support your efforts to bring those capabilities to the client. Your resource teams are those individuals in the firm that can help you in marketing, compliance, media relations, looking at your standard of care and the toolkit that that you all have available, that Morgan Stanley has provided. Then you can look at your branch manager. You know, call on your branch manager to support you on very significant appointments to help you navigate the firm and apply the firm's resources. That makes a great impression on clients when you do that. And then this FA team is going to also utilize the client's team of professionals. And these are people that don't reside on your network, okay? And you're always going to ask, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? Can you enthusiastically endorse your banking relationship? And if the answer is no, then that leaves you an opening to leverage, and I call it the force multiplier, to leverage, you know, your capabilities and bring them to bear on the client. That is the optimum model. This is where teaming is really headed. And if you do those things extremely well, then, you know, you're going to get the force multiplier in terms of your capability. I don't want you to think that you've got to do everything, that you've got to be the expert in everything. So let me stop for a moment and ask, how does that resonate with you? Any comments?
Looks like a good plan to be able to use all the resources.
And you're starting to do some of that now, I would expect. You know, but have you really consistently been tapping into the full capabilities of your organization?
I think when the certain...
I'll answer that, Curtis. We do, to the extent that it's certainly most beneficial to us, and I do listen and reach out to anyone Morgan Stanley recommends that we use. And that's always been I'm a Morgan Stanley guy. I'm a company guy. You know, I like to show the name and talk to people, but there are times when I find, I'm maybe getting off the subject here, the estate planning side of and or accountants.
Right.
Those referrals are more local for me because my client base is more local.
Right, right. Okay. So the idea then is, when you are working your enthusiastically endorsed model in the review, you're asking, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? And always have, three names in your back pocket that you can suggest and recommend, and then you're going to be the introducer to that CPA or that attorney, or to, you know, the banker that's in your network. Okay, so that's the whole.
Jump in at a
couple. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this slide is interesting for a lot of reasons to me. It's funny. Now on the branch manager side, you kind of got two, right, with HJ being the new lead on it, but come to us for either of us for anything. When I look at this on the firm resource team side, like, remember, sometimes it's about the expertise you can get, but sometimes it's also about gaining additional capacity. Right. So like on the marketing side, we've got the virtual engagement advisor. I know we've talked briefly about that, but at some point that may make sense for you all to outsource some of your marketing efforts. And so that's a way to use that. And what I'd say I see more broadly across our subcomplex is on the far right side with the FA specialty team. I think we've got a lot more opportunity for like really large clients and prospects to engage with PWM and family wealth directors more. And right. It's just because they have a lot more resources to help secure and enhance relationships. And I know that though we don't have a million of those, right? But like, I just think that as you come across those opportunities, just let HJ or me know, and we're happy to bring those folks in for you to evaluate whom it may make sense to partner with, because I do think it can add some value to you.
Yeah, for example, like you all have Greystone Capital, right? Greystone Consulting. And you could use Greystone to try to land that huge nonprofit or that endowment, or sometimes even the larger pension. So now you're levering up. You're using the force multiplier to the best advantage. So I wanted to share that with you. Okay. I'm going to stop the share for a moment. And I'm going to see what I can do to share the forecast model. Okay, now I'm going to go back to screen share. Okay, Let me know when this comes up and you can see it.
I've got it.
Okay.
See it.
So this is also on the website. So, you know, let's put some names on here. Let's see. And I'm going to put in okay, so so what we're doing here is we're going to look at the annualized production, and I'll do this hypothetically. So this is a two-person team. If you want to give me some approximate numbers, I'll use those. Otherwise, I'll just use a guesstimate just to kind of show you what's going on. So, Johnny, where do you think you'll end up this year?
Like a million trillion.
Okay, I didn't quite hear that. Did anybody hear
you
that?
You could probably put, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You could probably put Johnny down for around 1.1, call it a million. And me probably around 100.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. Okay. So, so here's what we have. We got total production of about 100, and let's say, what's your payout level for Johnny?
42.
So I can move this and come up with a payout level. I should have brought my mouse. So I'm going to just leave that at 43. What is your payout level connected with Johnny's paid in Ford?
No, mine's kind of weird for now. Just call it 40. May not, okay. 35. I don't really know for sure.
Okay. All right. So what this does is it calculates the compensation, taking 2 weeks off a year, but there is recurring fee revenue. So I think this gets to be accurate. And so the equity split is 91 to 9%, almost 10%. So your billable hours as a percentage of comp is like, well, over compensation is like 213 over 17 bucks an hour. Okay, now if I use a over production credits, then it's like $500 an hour and 50. With the totals down here, 100% equity split, 115, 275. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to forecast a growth factor. And let's say next year we want to grow at 25%, which is now an incremental team growth level of about $275,000. And your total team production now jumps to $1,375,000. And if we sustain that at 25% a year, I could change it. I can say, well, what happens if we really are having a great year and we go up 32%, then we're back down to 25, and then maybe we hit it up to 33, and by the fifth year, you know, we're still stabilizing at 25%. Well, this is telling you what you need in assets if you're going to grow at 32%. You're going to need, or what your incremental production's got to be, you got to add another 433,000 by your second year. So that'd be 2022. The following year, third year, you got to go to 452. Fourth year, 739 incremental to hit a level of 2.9. And by the fifth year, you know, you're running on all cylinders and the team is now up to 3.7 million in production. Now you're constantly going to be looking at what does it mean from a quantitative standpoint and a qualitative standpoint. What are we still working stair step to the stars? Do we need to bring in, you know, an additional, you know, support person, whatever? Or are we going to now use another FA? All right. So are you with me so far? Okay. Now, let's say that your average velocity rate, return on assets, is a 0.80. Okay. Is it 0.8 or is it 0.9 or is it 0.75 or what do you think your velocity rate is on your asset base?
Probably around 0.8.
About 0.8? Okay.
Average.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is saying the assets that you need to do this kind of production is about 171, 172 million. Next year, to hit this number, you're going to need 226 million, accelerating the 282 million, 374, 468, 469 million in order to come in at a $3.7 million level. Now, I can change this and I can say, well, we can go at 20, we can maybe move this down to 19. This one here is 17, and this one here is 23, okay? Notice how the numbers change. So by the fifth year, you're at 2.8 million in production. And all the numbers here have been calculated and done your forecast for you. So given your velocity rate, okay, these are the assets that you're going to need now in order to hit those production levels. You're going to need 350 million in order to go to 2.8. Okay. Now, simple thing here, I'll change a number up here and I'll say that, well, I don't need to change that number. You can do this each year. So let's look at, I'm going to take out team member C, but you might have a team member C at that point. We don't know yet, but I'm going to work this out with, let's say you get team member C in there by the fourth year. Okay. So the total number of accounts, it stays constant at 170. Because remember, we're working stair step to the stars. So, you know, we're upgrading new clients and we're telling some clients that, you know, our target levels are at a certain level and you're gonna maybe distribute those to, you know, somebody in the office. Okay. So the average assets now per relationship are at a million. They jump to 1.2 million. They jump to 1.4 million. Went down a little bit in the fourth year, and they're at 1.3 million in year five. Okay. With the number of households now being integrated into the team. The level of revenue per account has gone from 8,000. Almost 10,000, 11,000, dipped a little bit to 9, and to 10. So you have to ask yourself, well, why did we have a dip? Maybe we took on some clients that didn't meet our targets. Okay. So now what you have here is your minimum acceptable asset threshold. Over here, our target is $1.2 million. Then it jumps to $1.5 million and $1.8 million. But you took on some smaller ones and it went down to $1.4 million. Then you got yourself back up and raised your target to $1.7 million. Okay. So now those are your minimum asset thresholds. And then what I do is I look at your minimum acceptable revenue per account. 10,000, 12,000, 14,000. It dipped here a little bit and then dipped a little bit here, went back up to 13 million. Okay. So I can do what if scenarios on this to do my forecast out to 5 years. So this is telling you, you know, look, what happens if my asset threshold goes down to a 0.7, then over here, I'm going to need 282,000, 282 million in order to hit 1.9 million. Okay. So I can work that any way that I want. Okay. Now I'm going to go over here to the chart. And what this does is it shows you what your compounded annual growth rate is over that 5-year time frame. That's 19.5%, which is a pretty decent growth rate. Okay, and I can hover over here and say in year 5, you know, I'm at 350, and of course you can see it over here at 350. Okay. Let me stop there for a moment. Any questions? I'm going to show you two more scenarios. Any questions? You understanding that?
I think we're good. I pretty much have all of this in an Excel spreadsheet, but this is a lot prettier.
Well, it's quick. Yeah. You know, you don't have to, you know, do too much work.
Exactly. Okay.
So over here, it's showing that the total team production has got a compound annual growth rate of 19.5 in terms of total production on its way to 3 million at 2.8 in 5 years. And I've got an asset threshold chart, and that's kind of up and down. So your assets, though, have only grown by 8%. Which is not the way you really want to go. You want to really, you know, have acceptable asset growth, but sometimes there are years in the market where assets may go down if you're not bringing in new relationships. And then over here, you'll see that your revenue per account by the fifth year is at 13,000. That's almost 8% compounded annual growth rate. Okay. So you can work this as a team hypothetical and do what if scenarios for your team. And this is available on the website. Okay. So go ahead.
So speaking of the website,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Jared.
I was just going to say, y'all, this is, and Peyton, you mentioned you've got a spreadsheet. This is really important, especially right now, right, with all the work you all are doing and this time of year, because what this does is, like, typically what happens is people say, I did X this year, I want to do Y next year. This forces you to go out 5 years, which is, like, true business management. Right, so that you can really think in terms of where you're taking the practice together, and where the rubber meets the road on this is, like, as you think about your targets for 1 to 5 years out, like, do you have the pipeline? Do you have the retention strategy, i.e., the Supernova process, to help you through those things? But you'll be able to look at your pipeline and be like, is this going to be reality or not? And that can, I think that really helps make the pipeline come to life a lot more. So that's what I was thinking through as Curtis was going through this. I think there's a lot of value in going through this together.
Yeah, you're now translating the quantitative aspects of your practice and then thinking qualitatively, what changes are we making? What do we need to do to get to the desired result? And the other thing that I think is really important is, you know, when you start looking at billable hours, either optically looking at it from a compensation standpoint or from a production credit standpoint, is what's the value of your time? And is your time worth 200? You know, is it worth 300? So this is looking at, you're now looking at what your time is worth. And that's why you're developing this concierge practice. And this is why you're doing your forecast, okay? Any questions or comments about what I've covered here?
I've tried to access the website.
Oh, are you? Okay.
My card information, I wasn't sure if maybe I was missing something like a code, or do I pay with my card and then the firm reimburses me?
No, you have a membership. So you've got to get that from Lori or Cindy.
I'll email Lori. I think there's Lori.
Like or something that we get, like we got initially or something like that to get access to the website.
Yeah. Yeah, you have access to the website.
And I've gone in there before. I didn't know what happened.
Okay. So they'll certainly help you. Just send them an email. They'll help you with that. Okay. And just let them know that you want to get into the team sales forecast analysis. So this is just something, you know, when I started, I was coaching some folks and they were onboarding team members. They didn't know how to structure their comp. They didn't know how to do a forecast for their business planning. So this is what I created. And I hope that you find it useful and helpful for what you're trying to do. Okay, so we pretty much now have spent the kind of the time we wanted to spend. Let me get off of screen share for a moment and just ask you, is there anything that you, what were your takeaways for today? It's an important takeaway, just one takeaway that you got from our session.
I think we, you know, hopefully we can have a team face-to-face soon and be able to look at that. I know Johnny and Hayden have, you know, typically they have a business plan for the next year, but I think it would be kind of enlightening for us all to sit there and look at this in a five-year strategy to see what we're really looking at down the road. And I know for Hayden, especially coming out of the his FA, what do you call it, training
program.
In June will really, you know, help jumpstart his thoughts on numbers and the whole team aspect of that. So I think it'll be good.
Great. Okay. Any comments, Johnny or Hayden Ford?
No, I pretty much follow, especially what you're talking about. I can't see what you just showed there on the screen, but I know what you're doing because I always project, higher, better numbers each year when we do our planning. And this will be right there, as you mentioned, JR, for us to look at and project 2 or 3 years down the road instead of year to year.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's going to help a lot.
I mean, I was able to do this in less than 10 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend 3 hours trying to, see what your forecast is going to look like. You don't have to go build another spreadsheet or do all of the laborious work involved in that. Okay, so I'm going to send you a business planning strategy document And that will be the thing that we'll do on our next session. And so see what you can do to either work the plan that you've created. And if you don't, then I'm going to have a template. Doesn't mean you have to use the one that, you know, I've created or Supernova's created, but you can, or you can transfer information. What I want to see in your plan is your vision. I want to know what the end game is for this team, the dreams you've established, you know, for yourself. You know, Peyton, it might be to earn $500,000 and get that get that house. But whatever it is, I want to know your vision, your mission. I want you to do a quick SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You know, one of the threats to our business was COVID, and, you know, caused us to kind of rethink how we do things. You know, how we got to some use of technology, you know, that we weren't really using, and getting up to speed there. How we're making personal introductions via Zoom, so on and so forth. So, you know, how are you going to combat threats? I don't know what threats might be looming, you know, into next year. Is there a recession? If so, how are you going to continue to grow? So I want you to kind of analyze that. And then what you're going to do is you're going to look at some how your duties and responsibilities are delegated. And you're going to look at some goals that you wanted to achieve as a team. And I think the final thing would be to come up with maybe four, no more than five, really key initiatives that you want to embrace going forward for next year. You know, that's that when you go into the end of 2021, you can say, wow, we're really proud of ourselves because this is what we set out to do. This is what we accomplished. And we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish as a team. Any questions, any comments before we close today, team?
I think that's good.
All right. JR, did you have anything else to add?
I think this was a good discussion today. Thank you, Curtis, for bringing this material. Thank you, team, for all the work you continue doing. Continue to pave the way to greatness, so thank you. And while I've got you all, Peyton Group, just want to just check in. How do you all feel with the changes that are underway with the transition to Greenville? Any questions around that? Feel comfortable with where we are?
You see that we cleaned out our offices?
Yeah, it's sad for me, actually.
It is sad.
yeah. Thank you for knocking that out. Anything? Is there anything left behind that we need to make sure gets to you, or have you got everything good to go there from the offices?
Actually, we were talking this morning. We forgot to take their nameplates, Hayden and Johnny's, off the door there, but I think they're coming up Friday to meet with Joseph Friday morning, maybe, so they can get them. But yeah, it was sad for us, and I think Johnny was really glad we were doing it after hours. He didn't have to tell people bye. We saw Barbie; that was the only one we saw. So kind of bittersweet.
Yeah,
it is. It's bittersweet. Well, thank y'all for doing that. And if anything comes up along the way, I feel like we got a good process in place to make things even more formal and official beginning of the year. But just shout if you have any questions or concerns.
I am very, very pleased with what you guys are doing. I'm impressed. I really am. You're doing very, very well. Johnny, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I got to give the shout out to Peyton and Lisa both, because I've kind of done what I've always done Lisa has bit my ears and made me get a little more structured because of Supernova, and I'm glad of that. But there's no way this would have happened had it not been for page number one. And then Lisa reminding me, even last night, she reminded me who I needed to call on the follow-up for Supernova today.
Yeah.
And she's got another whip with a different color on it. I decided what color.
Well,
Supernova Red.
There's some power on that team somewhere, and I think I can identify it.
Right.
Okay.
If I start having a nervous tick, you'll know it's not working for him. He's not listening.
Okay. Well, look, you all have a great rest of the week, and I don't know if we have another call in December, so I better say have a Merry Christmas.
And to you.
As well. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Okay. Be safe.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Andy, I'll talk.
Goodbye.
Bye.